Welcome to Deeply Rooted, a web series on mindset. My name is Tony Wisdom, aka Tony Gaines. I've spent over 20 years in the music business as a producer, engineer, label owner, and executive. This show is dedicated to changing the narrative on success. I reached out to the most successful people I know. I want to know what drives them, their greatest mistakes, their best advice, their secrets to success, and how all of that has shaped who they are today. Take a journey with us.
I love that intro for some reason. Here we are. Today's guest is Laura Louise. Oh my God. Persetti. I'm gonna let her say it because I don't want to butcher it. I know her as Laura Louise. She's another one of my Clubhouse family. She runs a room every morning, every weekday morning at 11 a.m. Central with AJ. It's one of those rooms that, you know, once you get your quote unquote daily dose, because that's what it's called, the daily dose, you definitely don't want to miss. They usually give you tasks throughout the week focused on, you know, personal development and growth. And it's just a beautiful family. And Laura is one half of that head. So she definitely helps people on a daily basis, just from what I can see. She has some, you know, amazing programs for moms, and I'm very excited to learn more about Laura and, you know, to get this conversation started. So we'll just get right into it. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
I was going to butcher the name that fast. I was like, oh, no.
I'm laughing because I think it's so funny. On Clubhouse, when I do the moderating, I always butcher everyone's name. And it's not because of lack of effort. I just, it's not good with names. But it's Laura Louise Persichetti, which I think they got it from their initial. So it's all good.
Okay. Awesome. So how are you today?
I'm amazing. I'm so excited for this.
Me too.
When you booked it so far in advance, the anticipation was building all these weeks.
Yeah, I try to do that. I try to book them in advance just so I know where I'm going. Could you briefly just give me some of your background, where you're from and who you are professionally, kind of what you do?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm from Canada. I was born in Brightsgrove, Ontario, which is a small little gem. And I just want to double check that you're still there because you disappeared. Are you still there? Okay, cool.
I do swipe fingered on my Mac and
okay, I'm like, maybe I should just check in.
Okay, so all right. I didn't hear any of that answer, so that's my fault.
Okay. Do you want me to start again?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, no worries. So I'm from Canada. I was born in a little place called Brightsgrove, Ontario. It was like a little gem. And, I guess officially I'm a registered psychotherapist, and I combine psychotherapy with energy healing. And I feel like the two combined is just miraculous. Mm-hmm. I'm an author and a speaker. I do a lot of different events and teach a lot of different classes, both online and in person. And yeah, that's pretty much it in a nutshell in terms of professionally, but you know, lots of other things. I like long walks on the beach and chai lattes with oat milk, you know, those things too.
Awesome. So, I mean, how long have you been doing that? Or, I mean, are you coaching too as well?
Yeah, so I do coaching as well. So I've been running a business for about 15 years.
Oh, wow.
And it kind of landed on my lap. It started with the energy healing, and then I started to weave in the psychotherapy over time, and then actually coaching first, then psychotherapy. And yeah, everything just morphed with me as I grew.
So who is Laura the person?
Now we're going deep. We're going deep, Tony. I think in a nutshell, I would say love. Mm-hmm. I would say love. I feel like everything that I want to create in the world and everywhere I show up, that is at the forefront of it all, 100%. But, you know, there's other pieces that make up who I am. Like, there's, I don't know. It's such an interesting question to really sit with and ask yourself. I'm celebrating a birthday next week, and I feel like these questions come up around my birthday where I just like really reflect on who am I, what am I doing, where am I going, what do I want to accomplish this year? So yeah, it's right on par with this conversation for sure.
Awesome. I love that answer, love. It reminds me of Joao.
We get along so well, him and I. It's like my brother from another mother, that one.
No doubt. So how do you define success?
I would define success based on when I say I'm going to do something and the distance it takes for me to actually do it. So like if I say I'm going to get up in the morning and I get up, that's success. If I say I'm going to start the day with exercise and I do, that's success. But you know, I think success has to be found in the little wins, or else you'll never really experience success, even in the big ones. I think that's really, really important to see every step along the way as a success, not just the final thing. So like if I don't know, let's say I want to run a marathon. It's not when I run the marathon that's a success. It's every day I've practiced for that marathon is a success. Yeah.
So how has that changed for you? Is that the same way 18-year-old Laura saw
success? No. 18-year-old Laura would say that success was when everybody was happy. And I really had to dive into that one, because what that meant was I wasn't happy until everybody else was happy. And like, it's impossible to keep everybody happy. So then I wasn't really experiencing happiness to my fullest potential. So yeah, I had to really evolve that one big time.
Wow. So what drives you? What's your why?
I think helping people is a big why, but I've also found that I've needed to develop a relationship with life that being alive is why enough, you know? And like, just to be alive is such a gift. And I think so many people really pound, you gotta have a why, you gotta have a why, especially in the coaching world. And I think that's important, but at the same time, if you make that too important, you miss so much. But I do say like helping people is a big why, but I think I find different things to drive me. Sometimes it's like, okay, if you finish this, you get to go for a chai latte and that will be drive enough, you know, or like, okay, you know, like I have to give myself little rewards that will drive me throughout the day. But big picture, I would say there's just so many people suffering in the world and so many people in pain and in challenges. And, you know, even though 18-year-old Laura had this hook around the happiness of others, it's still there. It's just a different perspective on it. I understand I have many gifts and many talents that can be shared with people, but I don't make that my happiness. But it is part of my why. I feel like I have a piece to the puzzle of life. And when I show up, it makes a difference for other people. And I just have to keep showing up, even on the days that I don't necessarily feel like it, or I don't necessarily, you know, there's other things I want to do or whatever the thing is. I really place a lot of energy into the divine. And so I'm working on that level all the time of being guided where I need to be and what I need to do. And sometimes I don't really agree. I'm like, what is it? Why do I have to? And, but when I show up, then I realize like, oh wow, like I get to be part of this really beautiful, miraculous life just by listening to that inner voice and running, on a level of faith and trust in that inner voice. I think that I don't know how people don't operate without that connection to their, you know, you don't have to call it the divine. You can call it just your intuition or that voice inside of you, that little whisper. Like, I can't imagine not operating without that. That's my inner compass with everything.
Wow. That's a great answer. And you know, It's really inspiring. You and AJ, like, you guys literally show up every single day. And you know, there are times, like, you know, you take a few days off. AJ took a few days off. But, like, just overall, you know, 95% of the time, one of you guys is showing up. And then AJ does the morning as well. And just as an example to follow on consistency and again, just showing up is very inspiring. So I thank you for that, because I learned, you know, myself from that. So,
it's a pleasure. And honestly, when we don't show up, it's not because we don't want to.
Yeah.
You know, I really struggle when it's like, you know, not being there. Like the one week we took off, I struggled so much. I cried after AJ announced it. I was like, okay, you need a week off. But you know, we usually miss it because we there's something that we need to do or whatever, but not because we don't want to be there. We love the Daily Dose. We really do. I mean, I'm speaking for him, but I know he'll be okay with that in this moment, because we have so much love for the family there.
Yeah. And it's a great family. And I don't know how, every time I get on stage, I'm like, I don't know how you guys do it, but this is exactly what I needed to hear today.
That's the divine. That's the divine that flows through. It takes care of all of us.
I agree. So I really don't like the wording of this question. I just haven't worked it out to arrange it better. So I'll just ask it how I have it. How has a failure or an apparent failure set you up for later success? And do you have a favorite failure?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm one of those people that operate with, I don't need to know exactly how in order to do something. Like if I have it in my head that I want to do something, I'm just going to do it. And so because I operate like that, I tend to fail a lot, but through that, I learn so much. Yeah. Like I don't really think of it as a failure because there's so many lessons in it. I truly feel like failure is when, like, if you do something and make a mistake and learn, that's not a failure. But if you do something again that you know is a mistake, that's more on the edge of failure than actually making mistakes. Like, so I feel like failure is an opportunity to learn, an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to not just learn about what it is that you're doing, but learn about yourself. And so I don't really believe in failure. And I can see why that's a question that you want to revisit, because it's necessary to talk about, but it's also an interesting relationship we all have with failure.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think, for me, I think I'm going to change it somewhere around setbacks, right? Because we all have these moments in our life where we're like, oh my God, the world is over. I didn't get the job, or I didn't make the money, or, you know, whatever. And it's like, a lot of the times those are just really like stepping, or, you know, points of propel, you know, where you get propelled, right? Because it usually motivates you or teaches you a lesson that, you know, you then take on to the next thing, you know. But so I love that, though.
I like the idea of setback, for sure.
Yeah. Because
when you're saying that, I'm thinking about this time when I first got out of university, I applied for this job and I thought I had it in the bag. Like the interview was amazing. Like I was great for the job, and then I didn't get it. It was like a smack across the face. I was like, well, like, I don't know where I could have went differently on that process, but I'm stubborn, Tony, you know? And I was just like, you know what? I still want to work at this place. So I contacted them and asked if I could volunteer. I was actually at a community girls' home, and they were, I think, surprised by the fact that I just wanted to volunteer. And I volunteered one night and I really connected with the girls. And before I left, they pulled me in the office and they said, you know, there's this other job that you didn't apply for, but it's available if you do want to apply, and we recommend that you do. And then I got that job, which was actually a better opportunity for me at the time because it was permanent, whereas the original one was just for a period of time.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know. I feel like if you want something, you got to keep going for it. And like, there's going to be that setback, or there's going to be the obstacle. There's going to be someone that says no, you know, I think about like Sylvester Stallone, how many no's did he get before he did the movie Rocky? And he was so stubborn that he wanted to be Rocky. And if he would have stopped on the third or the fourth or the 30th no, we wouldn't know Rocky as it is today. And I think it's really important to just be persistent when you want something.
I love it. So what is one of the best or most worthwhile investments you've ever made? Could be an investment of time, energy, money.
For me, my favorite investments are experiences. And in terms of the best investment, I love learning. And I think investing in my learning, and I don't mean traditional, like I did go to university, but I'm not talking about that kind of learning. I'm talking about, you know, there's different workshops and different classes, different training. And I really feel like there's been so many times where I spent money that I didn't think I had for a training, and somehow, somewhere was able to pull it off and get there. And those moments of pushing myself, yeah, it's financially, but pushing myself in a way that makes me stretch has always been so valuable to my learning, to my growth, to my expansion. But I love experiences. So live events are always my favorite. Different training that involves doing something is my favorite, but also traveling. You know, before I think like when I was in university and after university, I literally lived and then to work, to travel, work, travel, work, travel. Sometimes I would live in different places and work there because I just love learning about new cultures and going to new places. And that was such a powerful investment for me. I learned so much about myself. And I remember being in my 20s and having friends that, you know, they're partying all the time and they're like, oh, you're so lucky that you get to travel so much. And I was like, I'm not lucky. Like, I'm just not spending my money on alcohol or new, you know, the best new whatever this and the best new whatever that. I'm just like working, saving my money and going and giving myself this experience. And I think that's available to anyone who's willing to prioritize that if they want.
Yeah, it's a choice. I mean, obviously, we all have choices. Yeah. And I, you know, I think about AJ and Anu and how they both traveled the world at like 18, 19 years old by themselves, having to figure it out. And just what, how wild of an experience that must have been, you know? And obviously for you too, I mean, did you travel the world or you just traveled where you wanted to go? Like you just picked different places?
No, I traveled all over the place. All over Europe, Africa, Australia, Asia. South America.
That's the world.
Yeah, that's the world. I landed on Antarctica. I still have to go to Antarctica.
Yeah. Well, that's so crazy. And you did a lot of that just on your own?
Yeah, mostly on my own. Every once in a while, I would do certain trips with a friend or two. And meet people along the way. That's always the best, I find.
Yeah. That's amazing. And now, you mentioned you're an author. Have you written a book about your traveling exploits?
Yeah. So the first book I wrote is essentially breaking down stories from the traveling with life lessons.
Oh, wow. Okay. You're going to have to send me a link or tell me where that's at. I need that one. So what small act of kindness were you once shown that you will never forget?
Okay. So I was working on a project called the Good Deeds Project. It was birthed as a suicide prevention program designed to bring awareness to the power of kindness. Okay. And I was traveling around and doing different events and different talks. And I met this guy who said he wanted to do an event to support the project. And he did it at his house. And he had this beautiful yard on the water and he invited all the neighbors and it was fun. It was, you know, it was a good time. There was live music. It was a lot of fun. But I will never forget the neighbor's son. He must have been 8 or 9 years old, came up to me with a Ziploc of his coins. And he said, I wanted to give you the coins from my piggy bank to help you do good deeds. And Tony, oh my God, like just shook me to the core
Yeah.
that, you know, you have all these adults and they're partying, they're like, they're not even asking about the Good Deeds Project. And then you have this young kid who's like, I want to give you everything I have for this project because I believe in it. And then we had so much fun because the next day we took the coins and we went through the downtown of the city, and when people's parking was coming close to an end, we would pop the coins in and do these mini good deeds with the coins that he had, and it was really amazing.
That is so awesome. And you know, I can only imagine where that kid is right now, you know. Right. So in the last 5 years, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
In the last 5 years, I would have to be honest and say that putting my health first. Yeah, I had to learn that one the hard way, by experiencing some burnout and some health issues. And now it is 100% my number one priority first. And it's been a radical difference in my life on all levels. And you know, I talk about this all the time in the Daily Dose, how important it is to take care of yourself so that you can take care of everybody else, so you can take care of all the things you need to take care of. It's just like when you go for a ride in the car, you have to put gas in the tank before you go on that trip. And I think it's so important for every individual to learn what is that gas for your tank? Like, what is it that fuels you up? What is it that you need on a daily basis in order to do what you need to do? And that in the last 5 years has been 100% my number one priority. And it's been a growing space and continues to grow. And it's made the most significant difference in every area of my life, from my personal area, relationships to business, everything.
Wow. And do you have any tips or advice on for somebody that might want to start that themselves?
It depends on where you're starting from, but if you're starting from nothing, then do something. You know, because nothing comes from nothing. So do something. So, like, for example, how you start your day, I think is really, really important. And the daily habits right first out of bed are so important. So, like, exercising, for example. Maybe you're not someone who wants to, sorry, I've got a cat on my lap, who the cat that always meows during Clubhouse. So, maybe you're not someone who wants to like run or go to the gym. That's okay. Find something that you want to do. Maybe it's dancing, maybe it's go for a walk, maybe it's yoga stretching, whatever, but do something. Something. And that I also think it's important to develop a relationship with your body. So not just exercise because you want to be skinny, but exercise because you want to take care of your body. Those are two different things, you know, like don't just be fit because you want to, you know, have a certain look to yourself, but be fit because you enjoy the process of getting to know your body, getting to know what you need, getting to know that relationship. You know, because like if you're pushing your body every single day and you keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing, then you get injured, you don't have a relationship with your body, right? But if you push yourself, push yourself, push yourself, and you know when to rest, that's developing that relationship.
Yeah, I see that. It's great advice. And now did you what about your diet? Is that something you were focusing on as well?
So, I had gotten really sick in Africa, and when I came home, I started seeing a nutritionist, and that would be like the beginning of me looking at what I put in my body. And you know, I was fasting and doing all kinds of different stuff on just clearing out my system. And that was the beginning of the beginning. And my pendulum would swing in different ways where I would just, you know, be really, 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 really clean and very, very strict to you know, easing up a little bit and recognizing, like, giving myself some space to like live and be social and eat and things like that. But yeah, now I feel like it, you know, I have a plant-based diet for sure. And I would say I'm more on the strict side of things, but I've also give myself a little bit of space.
Okay. Well, and I think that's important to have balance, you know, and not really beat yourself up if, you know, you fall off one day, you know, because people are social and, you know, food and eating a lot of the times is, you know, social events are surrounded by, you know, and sometimes you just want to, you know, have some food and enjoy, you know, have some extra pie or whatever. But it's something that I definitely am, and, you know, I want to watch my wording here. It's something that I'm getting better at. and I'm being more intentional about, but I definitely have a ways to go.
For sure. And I think it's important, your internal dialogue around everything. Like if you have, if you eat pretty clean all week and then you're at a birthday party and they serve cake and you're like, oh, I'm going to have a slice of cake. And then you have a slice of cake. You're like, oh, I feel so terrible. Why did I have this slice of cake? This is like so rare. Oh. Then you go home. You're like, well, I already had cake. I might as well have Doritos and I might as well have this. And then you just spiral out.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just the cake anymore. But if you're going to have that piece of cake, like really, really enjoy it. But what I found actually is the cleaner my system, the more I actually don't enjoy those things. Like they don't taste the same. Mm. You know, like unless it's like a quality cake, like just to eat cake for the sake of it. And then I don't feel right. And like it wasn't even worth the taste. Like it actually wasn't that great. Like, why did I do that? It's an interesting relationship. I think food is a gateway to getting to know yourself. If you decide to address food, whether that is to cut something out or to introduce something in, you have to address your relationship with food, which essentially means you have to address your upbringing. You have to address your emotional relationship. You have to address why you eat certain things at certain times and all of those things. So like you start to dig deeper, even though you're just addressing food.
Yeah,
it's such a powerful relationship. Food is connected to so much. I mean, it's connected to the initial connection of a human. We had to get our food from another human.
Yeah.
That was our source of life. There's a lot of things attached to that.
And it's actually one of the things that, you know, most people, it's the hardest thing to be disciplined about, right? It's just eating. So you're right. There's a lot that starts there. So that was actually really, really great advice, Laura. Thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
What advice would you give to a kid that's about to enter the real world, leaving high school, leaving college, entering the real world for the first time?
Run. No. I would say to get to know yourself. Develop a relationship with yourself. Enjoy, don't just enjoy learning, but learn how you learn. I don't know why they don't teach that in school. Not everybody learns the same way. And then if you don't learn the way that they teach, you think you're a bad student. And that's not the case. You just need to learn how you learn. But to get to know yourself at 18, my God, there's so many possibilities, so many options, just to have fun and to recognize that there are different phases in life. And that phase is all about getting to know who you are, experimenting and having fun and learn about new people, new places, and just soak in everything. That's what I would say. Just get to know who you are. Because, you know, I in psychotherapy, sometimes I come across people who are in their 50s or 60s, and they never gave themselves that space, right? Like, so you think about it, we're raised and our parents tell us things and then our school tells us things, our society tells us things, and we just bring all that stuff in and we try to fit ourselves in all these boxes. And unless you actually take some inventory on that, you don't even realize that you're not actually yourself. You're just everything everyone told you to be.
Yeah.
So then who are you? You start to peel that back, and recognize like, who is my true self? And the sooner you can do that in life, the sooner you can live from your true self rather than this facade that has been created over time.
Yeah, I agree. And that's something else that just, you know, this year, I really had to take a hard look at that. And, you know, the choices that I've been making, you know, were they for me or were they for other people? And the life that I have, is it for me or is it for other people? You know, and that's hard when you start peeling back those layers and you start seeing, well, okay, I'm not even who I think I am.
you know? It's like, what?
Which actually kind of leads me to the next question, right? So the mantra here at Deeply Rooted is kill the ego, ignite the soul. What does that mean to you?
Oh, Tony, so many layers. Okay, so I like how you said that it leads you to the next question because they are weaved completely together for me and my perspective. I believe that we develop these personalities over time, these parts of us that, you know, okay, let's say, for example, let's say there's a child who is running through the woods and the parent says, no, don't run through the woods. You can't do that. And then they say, they're like, oh, okay. They feel like they've upset the parent. And so they listen and they stick to the trail and they think, oh, I'm not supposed to go through the woods. Like something so small like this. I know it doesn't really make any sense, but it's okay. So this is what they've decided. Then fast forward later on, this kid is like, I don't know, in his teenage years, and the teens are like, hey, let's go for a hike. And he's just like, no, I'm not into that. And they're like, what do you mean you're not into that? Like, come on. And he's like, no, like, I don't want to do that. Because in the teen years, that individual is not thinking, oh, when I was four, I wasn't allowed to, and I made this decision. It just happened over time. And then it became, this is who I am. I don't go hiking. So then what happens is the friends maybe convince that individual, come on, let's just go. And then all of a sudden this individual's like, oh, I love hiking. This is so much fun. I love nature. And don't even realize that that's part of who they truly are. So to go back to the question, I feel like we all have these experiences. The one I shared is a little bit more, you know, innocent, where maybe the parent didn't want the child to get poison ivy. But so many different things can happen. Like there's traumatic experience that make us make decisions. There's just harmless, innocent ones that make us make decisions. And then we just create all of these parts of our person, the masks. You can consider them masks, but they're not who we truly are. And that's the peeling of the onion, where you start to peel that back and realize, like the kid, oh, I guess I do like nature. I guess I do like hiking. I didn't even realize it. That's a peel back of the onion. But at the same time, that same individual could have went 10, 20, 30 years thinking nature's not for me. That's just not what I do.
Yeah.
So I think the ego comes in and it works off of our subconscious, and our subconscious gets created over time, but we get convinced that we are our subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we peel back the layers, we start to dig deeper on, like, who am I? What do I actually like? What actually brings me joy? Those peeling back of the layers actually brings you closer to your relationship with your soul expression, your true self. And what is that? You know, when we talk about the quest for happiness a lot in Clubhouse, and, you know, a lot of my book, for example, is, you know, this quest for happiness, but essentially happiness is just a moment in time. It's like, oh, I had the cake. I was happy in that moment. It's over. Or I went on the trip, I was happy during the trip, and it's over. And I got this, and I'm happy. And when I do this, I'm happy. But like, these things are all outside of ourselves, which means as long as we're reaching outside, we're never going to experience that true happiness, which I would actually say is not happiness, it's joy.
Mm.
So I believe that the soul is truly our innate experience of joy and love. And when we peel back these layers, we get closer to our joy, get closer to love. And that's when we know we're getting closer to who we truly are. And, you know, this, I mean, I could talk for days about the relationship with the ego and the soul and like, what is this and all of the sorts of things. But essentially, that's what life is you have all these experiences that create your sense of identity, but that's not who you truly are. So as you take back that piece and you take back this piece, and you keep asking, like, who am I? like you asked me at the beginning of this interview, like, who is Laura? Great question. I ask myself every day, who is this girl? Who is she? And who is she becoming? And who, because it's a never ending question. It's an infinite question, because the closer you get to who you truly are, you realize like this is an infinite journey. Yeah. Because we are an infinite being having a human experience. And that's the fun part of that quest, is always going to be a quest, because life is an adventure. Yeah. Life is a venture of learning. Life is an adventure of getting to know who we truly are. But then once you get a taste of that, to create from that versus create from your ego. Because when you're creating from your ego, it's like someone who has been told their whole life, from their parents, you need to be a doctor, you need to be a doctor, you need to be a doctor, you need to be a doctor. And then they become a doctor, and they've never really asked themselves, do I even want to be a doctor?
Yeah.
Right. And you know, it's neither here nor there, not saying doctors are wrong or whoever told their kids to be doctors is wrong. Just saying, like, at some point that doctor needs to ask themselves what actually makes them happy. And what actually is there, you know, you might have a doctor as a profession, but then they love bird watching. Yeah. You're like, what, this doctor loves bird watching? But like, maybe that's their innate joy. I don't know, right? Yeah. But without asking the question, who am I and what brings me joy? What brings me life? What makes me light up and ignite this passion or desire? You'll never know who you truly are. You'll just be doing what you're told to be doing. You'll just be told what you're told is right or wrong or good or bad. And I don't think any of that really exists. There's no good or bad or right or wrong. We're just programmed that way. Mm-hmm. There's that true self and expressing from that true self. And that in itself is the journey of life, is figuring that all out.
That was a perfect answer. And I couldn't have said it any better myself. And, you know, I read a story. Maybe I read it in a book. I don't know. I have this story in my head, right? Of a new wife cooking dinner for her husband, and she's making pot roast. And she cuts the end off each side of the pot roast. And after a few times of making that, her husband says, well, why do you cut the ends off of the pot roast? And she says, well, that's the way my mother always did, right? So she calls mom and she asks mom, you know, why do you do that? She says, well, that's the way my mother always did. So they get to grandma and they say, well, grandma, why do you cut the ends off the roast? And she said, well, our oven was too small. It wouldn't fit the roast. So I had to cut the ends off of it. You know what I'm saying? And then this is something that's been carried on through generations, and nobody's even questioning, why are we doing this? It doesn't even make any sense. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of made me think, you know, of your forest analogy, you know, just how we have those things that we, you know, that get stuck with us. And, you know, we can look up at 50, 45 years old, and you've never questioned some of these things, you know? So, and that's, to me, you know, killing the ego, igniting the soul is, like you said, peeling back those layers and figuring out what it is that makes you burn. We all have a genius, right? And I think it's our duty and our responsibility to figure out what that is and be the best that we can be with the gift that we were given, whatever it is, because we all have something, every single one of us. So I love that. So we all have this moment in our journeys where we want to call it quits, where we're at our lowest, so to speak. When you reached that point on your path, how did you fight through?
I feel like I hit that point weekly. This is like, oh. Oh, goodness. Yeah, there's different versions, I guess, of that point. You know, the weekly point, I'm joking, but it's also not a joke, like in the sense of overexerting myself and then having to pull back and fill myself back up. But if I had to pick a time, it was a time where everything was falling apart. So I teach a class called Stress Rescue. And at the time I was preparing to teach the class and I was reviewing everything. And there's 9 core things that essentially contribute to stress. Okay. So I was going over this list and I was dealing with all nine of those core things. Oh. And I thought to myself, okay, no wonder why I'm stressed. Like, this is, of course. But it was like everything was falling apart, like every area of my life. And I was so overwhelmed that I couldn't grasp onto anything because it was all crumbling. Mm. So it was, what ended up happening is that when everything crumbles away, the only thing left is right here. And until you completely lose everything, you don't actually know that. You know it, but you don't have a relationship with it. And at that time, that's what was happening. I needed everything to fall away so that I could really establish this core relationship with myself and this core relationship to, you know, having actual faith. Like when you can't lean into anything in this physical world, you got to go up. Whatever you want to call that, it doesn't matter, but you got to have another line of energy coming through to support you, whether you call it the divine, you call it grace, you call it God, you call it the universe, you call it angels, you call it Jesus, you call it Muhammad, you call it Buddha, it doesn't matter, but something greater than this physical to lean into. Yeah. And I feel like at that time, I had to really lean into this place of faith and trust. Even though everything around me looked like it wasn't coming together or was never going to come together. And I just like, I slowed down. I really established a connection to my breath, really established a connection to that line up. And I've never been the same since. And I had that connection prior to everything falling apart, but I still had a mind attachment or an emotional attachment that I needed to have these things in order to live, or I needed to have these things in order to exist or to be whatever I thought I needed to be. And when it all fell away and I realized, oh shit, like I still exist. Yeah. Life's still going on. My breath is still coming and, you know, my life is still happening and I can still actually experience joy even if I have nothing. Like what? Mm-hmm. And so this all happened, interesting enough, prior to the experience of COVID. And then when COVID happened and everyone was challenged in the space of everything falling apart, what they thought life was, you know, everything's closed down, like they can't continue on with the way that they're continuing on. I was just solid, like totally solid. And I remember thinking like, should I be a little bit like worried? And it was like, no, like I was so solid, but it was because prior to that, I had gone through this experience. And it's not that it wasn't a challenging experience. It was that I just had my foundation somewhere else. My foundation wasn't in the house. My foundation wasn't in a relationship. My foundation wasn't in money. My foundation was like in a higher realm. And so because of that, I could operate here in any way because my foundation was solid. And that's how it translated, was being able to be that rock, not just for myself now, but for other people during a time where there's so much uncertainty, there's so much chaos, there's so many challenges in so many ways. And when we realize that it's the actual challenges that help establish this, we can embrace the challenge a little bit more and recognize there's always, 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 always the other side to the challenge. Always.
I love it. And my next question is kind of, I think you've already answered it, so I'm not even going to ask it. It's just more about, you know, on a day-to-day basis, when you feel overwhelmed or unfocused, you know, or have lost your focus temporarily, what do you do? But it seems like you're very intentional about, like you said, filling your gas tank up and making sure that you're on top of putting, you know, something back in, with, you know, with all the service and, you know, giving that you do. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, there's some practical things I do. Like the night before, I get clear on what I need to do the next day. So then when the next day happens and maybe some distractions come in, it's like I know what my task is for today. I know what my things are that I need to get done. And so these other things that inevitably always come in. It's like if they're important enough to make the list, then they get on the list, but they're not the priority because I've already decided what the priority is. Unless it's an emergency, of course. But the other thing is I just cannot speak enough of the power of the breath. Like if I feel overwhelmed or I've just got too much happening in my head, like I have to come back to my breath. I catch myself. So I know what it feels like to be focused, to be solid, to be centered. And I know what it feels like when I'm not. Nice. So as soon as I'm not, I'm on it. And I think that's the difference. When you don't know what that actually feels like, then you make overwhelm normal. But when you actually have developed an ability to understand, okay, this is what it feels like to be focused. This is what it feels like to be centered. Mm-hmm. This is what it feels like to be calm. Then when you're chaotic or overwhelmed or stressed, you don't want to be in that space. Yeah. So it's like, what's the quickest bridge back? And I think over time, as you get to know yourself, you start to close the gap of how long you're off for. Yeah. You know, and so like you said, you have that daily practice to fuel yourself up. You're good. You go through life, or you go through the day and something throws you off. How long are you going to stay off for? The whole rest of the day, the whole rest of the week, the whole rest of the month, or just for that moment and come back? Or maybe you give yourself 5 or 10 moments and come back. Maybe you give yourself an hour like, and then you come back. But closing the gap for how long you're off for, I think is so key for so many reasons.
And I think it's important, like you said, to feel it, right? Because when you feel it, then you know, then like you said, you start to have this awareness of self and this awareness of your body or, you know, and so taking the time to feel it, no matter what it is very important. And, you know, spend time with it. Like, and like you said, it might be an hour, it might be a minute, who knows, but don't, you know, don't pressure yourself, just feel it. Know what it's like. And this is good or bad. It's something that I've realized, you know, I've gotten really good at controlling my emotions. You know, I had a lot of tragedy hit me in like a small amount of time. And I just got really good at controlling my emotions. But then I realized, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was like, the things that I'm supposed to like have good emotions, I'm supposed to be happy, I'm controlling those too. Like, and people are looking at me like, why aren't you, you know, like, why aren't you celebrating? I'm like, I am. I just, you know, in my own way, like it's so, but definitely, you know, learning yourself and learning how to control those emotions is very important. So, and breathing, is that, are you guys on a breathing challenge in the daily dose room?
Yeah, so not everyone, but anyone who wanted to sign up, if you haven't heard of Wim Hof, you, Tony, or any of your listeners, I highly recommend checking him out. Okay. He has an incredible story, first of all. He has broken so many records and has established such an amazing, not just program, but way of being, and it's through the power of breath and through relationship to cold water treatment. So, you have to check out his story. His story is really remarkable. Okay. But essentially, the challenge that we're in is doing the Wim Hof breathing and doing the cold showers. So the Wim Hof breathing can be done on its own, but when it's combined with the cold showers, you are able to you know, have the cold shower for the benefits of the stimulation, but also it's such a mind experience. Like it's never easy to get into an ice cold shower, but you know, earlier I said success is, for me, deciding to do something and doing it, that gap being closed there. So like going in the cold shower, like I'm going in this cold shower. How long am I going to play with the idea of going into the shower before I actually go into that cold water? Like, am I going to do some breathing and just dive in, or am I like, can I just do it quickly? Am I going to spend 5 minutes thinking about it or 10 minutes dreading it? That's the relationship I'm talking about. We had, I was sitting by the water. I live across the street from the water, and I was sitting there with a friend of mine. We were eating ice cream, and this guy came and he stood near us, and he was standing on the edge of the rock looking at the water. And I'm eating ice cream. I'm looking at him and I'm talking to my friend and watching this guy, and he was staying there forever. If I was like, are you gonna jump? he's like, whoa, it's like so cold. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't think anybody's jumped in yet this year. And he's just going on and on. And I was like, yeah, people have jumped in. And he's like, well, did they die? I'm like, no, they didn't die. They're fine. One of my best friends has been in. He's just like, well, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And I honestly, Tony, I don't know how long he was there having this relationship of either dive in or not. And finally, my friend just goes, 5, 4, that gives him the countdown, and he jumped after one. It was so funny. But honestly, that countdown, I swear, helps all the time. If you're like, okay, you're laying in bed, it's nice and cozy, you don't want to get up, but you know if you get up, you'll be able to work out before you go to work. And if you don't, you're going to feel bad about yourself and blah, 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 blah. Give yourself the countdown. Be like, 5, 4, 3, and get up after one.
It works. I've been doing it. It does work. It's something just triggers in your brain, like, okay, gotta go. Like, okay, so we only have 2 questions left. These are actually 2 of my favorite questions. The first one, if you could have a gigantic billboard anywhere with anything on it that millions of people would see, what would it say and why? It could be a few words or a paragraph.
Oh, I have like 6 going through my head. You know what? I think I would go with do something kind today. Mm. That was what I picked for the Good Deeds Project. And I think that that's something, it's not just, oh, I like that. It puts somebody into action.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just a feel good sign or like, oh, it actually is like, okay, well, if I did something kind, like what would I do? And like, it puts somebody in a space of like, doing something from seeing the sign.
I love it. It's perfect. So for the last question, you know, I have a music background, so I have to always add a music question, right?
Okay.
What song would you consider the soundtrack to your life? Or is there a song that you turn to for strength?
Okay, so I have a song that's playing 24/7 in my house, and I get teased all the time for it. And it's just like, it's like part of the answer, but not the full answer. So it's Jonathan Goldman, Holy Harmony, which is like a really, it's a healing song, and it's just always playing. And also the one that AJ and I play, well, AJ plays for his gratitude. Oh my goodness. It'll come to me, but that's also playing in one of the rooms, and it's sometimes on Clubhouse you can hear it in the background. But in terms of like a soundtrack or a song that I listen to, there's so many. I like listening to, if I'm like feeling down or something, I'll put Shake It Off. I play that. And you know, I like old school songs, like Celebrate Good Times. I'll play that. Sometimes I'll just put on like Dance Mix 95 and blast that. So yeah, it really depends on the mood that I want to create. So from a music perspective, you know, everything is frequency, and our thoughts are frequency, our emotions are frequency, music is frequency. And I think we can all mostly relate to music as frequency, because you can listen to a certain song and it pumps you up when you want to go work out. And you can listen to another song and it can calm you down. You can listen to a song, it makes you feel depressed. You can listen to a song, it makes you feel happy. And so we can all relate to that. But if we recognize that these are frequencies that we're tapping into. And so when we dip, when we feel sad or we feel depressed or we feel down or we feel tired, then you can use music to change your frequency. You know, sound moves through water so quickly, and we're more than 80% made up of water. And so when we listen to music, it moves through us in a completely different way. And I really think, you know, and going back to that 18-year-old, like, listen to music, but what lyrics are you listening to? What's the language in the music? What's the vibration you're tapping into? And is it in alignment to what you want in your life? You know, maybe is it in alignment to what you want to create? So when you ask me a question like this, it's like, I can't give you one answer because I'm constantly changing the soundtrack based on what it is I want to create. And, you know, when I'm cooking, for example, I sometimes I'll listen to like old Italian music because I'm like channeling the nonna while I'm in the kitchen, you know? But when I'm in the car, you know, sometimes I have to tune into what kind of music I'm listening to because I'm like racing and I can't be racing in my car. So like, you know, there's just different things to pay attention to because you are generating a frequency by the soundtrack of your life. And I remember thinking back when I was a teenager, the music I was listening to, I'm like, no wonder I was like depressed. Like it's just, the lyrics are so depressing, but for some reason we like, there are times where you want to listen to that and you want to like dive into that space, but for how long,
And you know, that resonates heavy with me because I spent 20 years basically producing and releasing quote unquote gangster rap. And in that time, I got, you know, I started to learn things. I started to learn about the law of attraction. I started to learn about frequencies. I started to learn about energy. And, you know, just at the beginning of this year, I finally retired, you know, and I was very, you know, and there, this is a longer story, which is like really, it's really deep, but I had a realization at some point that this music that I thought was this positive thing is my career, it's taking me places, right? I was spending so much time in these very low vibrating environments, putting in low vibrating music and low vibrating lyrics. And while I don't live like that, it creeps in, you know, and it starts to become part of where I'm vibrating at on a normal basis, you know? And I really, I have completely kind of went a different way. The music I listen to on a day-to-day basis is mostly just about love. And, you know, like I've changed a lot of that. But then there's this, you know, I read something where they were saying, if you're going for a job interview and you need to feel confident, right? Put on a 50 Cent record. Right, because who's more confident than that dude, right? And get, use that energy, you know. So like, there's time and place for everything. I'm not gonna sit here and like there's no purpose for that type of music, and there's not artists that actually, you know, do good from that genre. It's just, you know, in my experience, I really had to disconnect from that, you know.
Yesterday I was driving to, I was marrying my cousin yesterday. I was officiating a wedding and I was so nervous and I don't usually get nervous. So I was like, I didn't know what to do with this nervousness. And I was got into the car and then Eminem's song came on. It's actually a song that AJ listens to.
Lose Yourself
came on. And I was like, I needed to hear that. I'm going to officiate a wedding, but for some reason I needed Eminem just to like get me like moving through this nervousness. It was so funny. But yeah, there's a time and place for all genres for sure. Yeah. You know, it's not about making it wrong or good or bad, but yeah. And what an interesting self-reflection to be in that certain vibration and then to recognize like, this isn't even me.
Yeah. And you know, in my world and in my environment, like it's actually dangerous. Like people die, you know, like it's serious. And then, you know, I realized at some point, and that's why I kind of framed this question as a soundtrack to your life. Because I realized no matter what I wanted to say, I'm a producer and I'm creating the soundtrack for a lot of, you know, trauma and despair, you know, when it's all said and done. And I refuse to be a part of that anymore. So anyway, Lauren, this has been absolutely amazing. Like I knew it would. I always like to leave this space right here for you. You know, because I know you have things that you do, things you might want to let people know about. So anything that you want to say, this, the floor is open to you. So thank you so much. You were an amazing guest.
Oh, please, Tony, it was my pleasure. My absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me. First off, I really, really want to honor you and that you're doing this and that it was something that was birthed not too long ago, and you're making magic happen with these, and you're bringing in the consistency, and you're bringing in all these incredible people. I've watched half of them. I don't think I've watched them all. You've had a few of our people from our Clubhouse family, and I've caught all of those, which I just adore to spend that time getting to know people differently. But yeah, you know, I'll just repeat that AJ and I, we do a Clubhouse room. If you're not on Clubhouse yet, I would recommend jumping in. And we're there every day, Monday through Friday at noon Eastern time. In terms of personal things that I do a free meditation class on Mondays, if that's something you wanted to check out, or free consultations if you wanted to look into, you know, getting some support, some coaching, some psychotherapy. I work a lot with kids, teenagers, but I work a lot with adults too. But yeah, if I can support you in any way, if you resonated with something I said, you want to have a conversation, just reach out. And that's now, that's later. The door's open.
Okay, and how can they find you?
So are you going to link up here? I guess on Instagram, it's Laura Louise 29. Okay. On Facebook, I think it's Laura Louise Persichetti. You can email me. I have so many different things online that you can check out. RoyalArtsHealingAcademy.com. My email is my first and last name, so Laura, and then Persichetti, Persichetti at gmail.com. I don't even know if people email anymore. I think Instagram is probably the quickest, easiest way.
Yeah. So yeah, I will put your links to your stuff there. And I know you just started the Back to You Mom classes as well, right?
Yeah, I'm doing a mastermind with moms. I'm so excited. Last year, this time I worked with kids and it was great. But this year I decided to focus on moms because I understand that, you know, moms are the hub of the home. So if I support moms, I'm going to be supporting their partners and their kids, but then their friends and their workplace. So I kind of get a little bit farther out by supporting moms. And to be totally honest, Tony, like the stress and expectation and overwhelm that moms are feeling right now in this past year, just having to have it together constantly, I just can't even imagine. And so it's been an absolute pleasure to bring these moms together and develop a mom mastermind that has just been remarkable, total transformational experience.
That is remarkable. I lost my mom in 2019, so I'm all about, you know, the power of moms. And actually on Deeply Rooted this season, we started with AJ, but the remaining seven guests are all women. I really wanted to focus on rock star, kick-ass women like yourself, because, you know, you guys really are, you know, powerful, more powerful than society wants to pretend. You know, I mean, it was like, I see so many of you guys from Samantha, you know, Carol, Dawn, Anu, Mina, like there's so many rock star kick-ass women. And I just wanted to highlight you and give you your honor you, Laura, just for being everything that you are. Thank you from the bottom of my heart and from, you know, just the world and the people that you affect, you know, thank you.
Thank you, Tony.
You're welcome. You have a great evening.
You too. Much love to you. Thank you for having me.
Much love. Yeah, so, wow. Just another great conversation. I said it last week, I'll say it again, like, especially this season, like, if you're not watching Deeply Rooted, like, if you want some, like, actual life advice and some shit that you can, like, get practical and apply now, like, Laura, Samantha, AJ, Issa, it's just amazing to me. And all of these people are authentic. They come from a place of love, and they set an example for just what it means to be, you know, just be. So, love y'all, man. I'm gonna see you next week. Don't forget to go check us out on the IG, The Deeply Rooted Show, thedeeplyrootedshow.com. Find us on Facebook. I do have some merch coming. It's amazing. I love it. Like, there's some really cool stuff coming. So thank you for tapping in. I love y'all. Peace.